I've got to go to physical therapy again tomorrow, and I've been getting ahead of them this week because I've been working on it and working on it. And I went walking today and down Hopatom and back, and I actually run about as far from here, almost to the back wall, and it felt pretty good. And so I'm going to be ahead of them this time. Maybe I killed me last week up there. I'm telling you, I've been hurting myself a little bit at a time every day, so it won't hurt so bad tomorrow. I got that, and then the next week, and 2 weeks from Friday is when I'm supposed to have the surgery, so continue to pray about that. I can't be walking, hobbling around for the youth rally, so we need to pray. And I told somebody the other day, this is the longest I've went without running since I was one year old. I know it is, no doubt in my mind. I've not went this long without running since I was one. I learned how to run before I could walk. But that didn't make no sense, did it? All right, we're going to take up a study tonight. Go ahead and start it, brother. Tonight, I want to change. I said we was going to be talking about the New King James, but we're going to wait until next week. We're going to give you some more stuff about the NIV tonight. Let's see. That's this big red one, isn't it? We're going to look at some more verses in the NIV, the New International Version. Now, the reason we keep talking about this one is because this is the one that's being promoted and recommended and pushed by most churches that you go to. And most preachers on the radio, most of them on TV, you'll see them read a verse of Scripture and you think, well, that don't read like my Bible. And that's what they're reading out of, the NIV. He's got it right there. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to take your Bible and we're going to compare them to what this said. We've already shown you in our last couple of studies. We're only going to have one more study. That'll be next Wednesday night. And we've already shown you some flat-out mistakes in it. We've shown you how that... it has some things that are just not true, like Mark chapter 1 about the prophets, 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 John 5:7, the strongest verse in the Bible about the Trinity. It leaves it completely out almost in the NIV. Acts 8:37, the plan of salvation is left out completely. The whole verse is gone in Acts 8:37. So if you haven't been here on Wednesday night, all I can tell you is try to get the tapes because you're way, way, way behind. I showed you about that's where they took out the word science, where they took out the word study, when it said the study to show yourself approved. And then I showed you where it left out the deity of Christ in Luke 2:33, and on and on and on and on and on. Now tonight, what we want to do tonight is I'm going to show you some changes in the NIV that are a little more subtle, that are a little more sneaky, but yet are extremely dangerous. I'm going to read it in here. He'll read it in there. Then if you have a question or comment, he'll stop the tape and we'll go over your questions and we'll continue. Okay? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Way over there in your New Testament, the book of Philippians chapter 2. And there's a great verse here on the deity of Christ. It's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. And this verse says, talks about Jesus didn't think it was robbing God to be equal with God. And so let's look at it tonight. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Who, this is talking about Jesus, from verse 5, you know that's the context, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So in other words, Jesus didn't think it was robbing God to be equal with Him. Jesus put Himself equal with God. That's the deity of Christ. What you call that? He's deity. He's God. Jesus is God. All right? Read that verse for us in NIV. Now check it by your Bible as he reads it.
Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped.
He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Read it one more time.
Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped.
All right, get up just a little bit closer, brother. He said he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. If I understand that right, what he was saying was he wasn't trying to say he was equal with God. Read it one more time.
Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped.
Isn't that weird? Ours says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That one said he didn't think equality with God was something to be grasped. That's an attack on the deity of Jesus Christ. So when a man says, well, We only use the NIV because all it does is changes the these and thous and makes it easy to understand. He just hadn't done his homework. He just hadn't studied. Let's look at another one here. Colossians chapter 1. Now, the book of Colossians, that's right past Philippians, so you're right there at it almost. So would you write just two or three pages? Colossians chapter number 1. And let's look at verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom, this is of course Jesus again, context verse 13. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. How do we have redemption? Through His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Blood had to be shed. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. And that verse says, we have redemption through His blood. So the blood of Jesus is what gives us redemption. It's all in our songbooks. It's all through the Bible, hundreds of times. All right? Watch your verse there and read it in that one.
In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
What happened there? No blood. Read it again.
In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Why would they take out the blood of Jesus? Guess what? Without the blood, you ain't got no redemption. Without the blood of Jesus, you say, well, it talks about the blood in other places. Well, that's good. Why didn't it talk about it there? Why would it take it out? You remember I showed you? These Bibles come from a completely different family of manuscripts than your King James Bible comes. There are two families of Greek text. And one of them comes like from that tree and the other comes from that tree. And your King James come from this one. And the NIV, RSV, ASV, New World Translation, Living Bible, I got them all laying right there. Them all come from a different set of manuscripts. The reason they come from a different set of manuscripts, those manuscripts wasn't discovered till between 1870 and 1880. The King James Bible hadn't been preached 200 years by that time. And so they thought, wow, these are older, so they must be better. But they wasn't older because it's older. The only reason it's older is because nobody used them and they got put on the shelf. And these wore out. So the King James has it right going all the way back. And them have it wrong going back to a fellow by the name of Origen. What you call them when you hear the Westcott and Hort Greek text? That's what that is. They call it Westcott and Hort Greek text. And that is the Greek text used in every Bible seminary just about in this country. Except a few of them that have took a stand on the Textus Receptus, the other line of Bibles, the Greek text. Now, I know this might be confusing to some of you, but you weren't here the last 2 weeks. Maybe, I'm sorry, get the tapes. But I'm trying to show you the different lines of Bibles. They're different families of Bible. I don't want a Bible that leaves out the blood in Colossians 1:14. It's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Boy, if the Lord laid that on my heart and I got up and I said, hey, we have redemption through His blood, I want to know that blood. It's in my Bible. I don't want a Bible that don't have the word blood in Colossians 1:14. Let's do another one. 1 Corinthians 6. Now, I want you to look at this one. This is a sort of a scary sort of a change here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, this is a verse about people who are not going to have inheritance in the kingdom of God. And it's verse 9. Not going to inherit the kingdom, these people won't. People who practice these sins won't inherit the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, that's sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, that's putting anything in front of the Lord, for you people that got real judgmental on that first one. Nor adulterers, that's about messing around with somebody when you're married that you ain't married to. Nor effeminate. You see that word effeminate? You know what that is? That's sissified. That's a boy being a sissy, or that's a nice way of putting the homosexual. A homosexual. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. There's a lot of controversy over what that means. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, people don't pay your tithe. Nor covetous, always wanting something else. New car, new house. See, you better watch it there. You done threw everybody in hell that first verse. You better watch it. That's going to get the rest of you. Covetous. All you got to do to be covetous is want something you ain't got. Bible said, having food and raiment, let us be content. That means if you got food in your belly and one outfit of clothes, you're not supposed to want nothing else. You know what that means? There ain't nobody in here going to inherit the kingdom of God if you don't straighten up. It didn't say you wasn't going to heaven. It said you ain't going to inherit the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is going to be here on this earth. You'll have no rule and reign with Christ in the kingdom. Nor revilers, you might argue and fuss and all, nor extortioners, charging somebody more for something than it's worth, taking advantage of them. That's extortion. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you got saved and got right with the Lord. Now, I wanted to point out verse 9 said, it said effeminate. After it said fornication, adultery, effeminate, normally that applies to a sissified man, real sissified. All right, read it in that verse 9. Everybody listen.
Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders.
Nor homosexual offenders. See, it didn't say homosexual offender. That means, and that's what the whole homosexual movement teaches. They teach that as long as you're monogamous and faithful to your partner, that it's not wrong. That the only time it's wrong is when you're an offender. Yeah, like if I'm not going to use me as an example. Let's say these two boys here were boyfriend and boyfriend. And just an example, brother. Andy and Randy. Let's say they were boyfriend and boyfriend, and one of them cheated on the other one with another boy. Golly. That's a homosexual offender. I was on TV the other day, there's these two girls, and they was in love, and they was having a fight because the girl was cheating on her with another girl. And I thought, that ain't the most messed up thing I've ever seen in my life. Two girls fighting over another girl. This may say, just wake me up when this is all over, brother. I'm telling you, this world's gone crazy. It's gone crazy, really. I mean, on TV, and people accept like that as the most normal. And if you don't accept that as normal, you know what? You're the one that's sick. You're the one who got the problem. Phil W. said we were all homophobic. I mean, talking about that tonight, but we don't have homophobia. We have homonausea. You know, there's just something about a man sticking his tongue in another man's mouth that makes us want to puke. It's homonausea. And that's the nicest thing they do. Amen. Amen. Preach it, brother. Well, anyway, it says homosexual offenders. So you know that verse. What that could leave the impression is that it's okay as long as you're not a homosexual offender. That's a dangerous way to put it. Now, let me show you another one. Well, let me just tell you this one. The word hell, H-E-L-L, hell. Does anybody in here not know what that means? Everybody in North Carolina knows what hell means. They say it every day. They talk about it all the time. They tell each other, go there all the time. Ain't none of them believes in it. Ain't that something? That's the way you know there's a hell. They talk about it. It's in all the movies. It's on, you can't watch TV. You can't watch TV 10 minutes without somebody talking about hell. That's God showing you there really is one. Everybody wouldn't talk about it all the time. You ask them, do you believe in it? Oh, no, there ain't no such place. Well, why are you telling everybody to go there? If you get mad at somebody, say, oh, go to heaven. You know, you ain't going to tell nobody to do that. Well, anyway, the word hell is in your King James Bible in the Old Testament 31 times. 31 times the word hell is in your Old Testament. The word hell is not found in the NIV in the Old Testament. Zero. Not one time. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And all these great preachers saying, well, I just think it's a better version. The word hell is not one time in the Old Testament. Because there are several different words translated hell. Now, let me ask you something. Go out here on the street tomorrow and stop the first five people you meet at Walmart and say, could you tell me what Sheol means? They say, what? Sheol, is that some kind of dog or something? Or does that say, what does Hades mean? They couldn't tell you. A few people know what Hades is. Ask the first 10 people, what does hell mean? They can tell you it's a fire, a place that's fire and people burn when you die. Now, why is that clearer and easier to understand? Sheol, Hades, Tartarus, and Gehenna. Those are Greek and Hebrew words, four of them, used in the Bible as a translated the word hell. And in the Old Testament, what they said was, what the trick is, hell is a pit, so they just say it's a pit. A pit ain't necessarily hell, even though hell is a pit. Hell is a pit. I talked to a man one time. He said, well, see, there are you preachers talking about hell. It's up on the other side of Marion out in PG. And he said, he run a business. He said, you preachers talk about hell all the time. I saw it on TV, said hell's just a pit. It's like your basement where you'd keep potatoes and stuff. It's like a pit, a hole in your basement. And I said, hell is a pit, but hell ain't your basement. Just because something's a pit don't mean it's hell. Hell is a pit, but just because it's like, gosh, I don't know. Let me think. A grave is a pit, but your grave ain't hell. Grand Canyon is a pit, but it's not hell. The Lord said, fear not them which just can kill the body, but after that have no more they can do, but fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So hell is something past the grave. It's something beyond the grave where your spirit goes, your soul goes when you leave this body. You have a soul inside your body. Now your soul is not... I just got through watching a video, that video of Dr. Ruckman. Y'all got it now, don't you? Did you watch that? Man, that's good. He talks about your body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is not a little round peanut-shaped thing somewhere in here. And when you die, it just flips out and goes. Your soul is just shaped just like your body. It's right in here, right like that. And it's right here. It's right inside your body. That's why when the rich man died, his body was in the ground, his soul was in hell, and he said, put water on my tongue. See? And he had eyes, lift up his eyes. It's not a ghost, not a peanut. Your soul has eyes, has a tongue, has fingers. I've heard people say this. I've heard people get their hand cut off, and then they'd be walking around one day and say, my hand's itching. My hand's itching. You ever knew anybody like that? And, okay, stop it.
Her
daddy,
he had his leg cut off. He'd say,
right,
scratch my foot.
I said,
you ain't got no foot. He said, I
have too. That's exactly what made me start believing the truth about that. Really? You can't cut that. Did you get down there and do like this? Wouldn't that be awful if your foot was itching and you didn't have one? Have you ever itched before and you couldn't find where you was itching? I'd scratch all around. Where is that? You too. That's a weird feeling too. But they say that's your soul. Because that soul's still there. You know, if you cut my leg off, my soul will still be sticking out right there. That's weird. But your soul is shaped just like your body, but it's inside you. It's like football. Your football has leather, and then it has a little inner tube, and then it has air. Body, soul, spirit. Body's this body here, right inside this little tube, soul, and inside, breath, air. That's spirit. Pneuma. Pneuma means spirit, and that's where we get pneumonia. Words like that. Pneumatic. Pneumatic is the word, it's air. So the word hell is not mentioned in NIV. As a matter of fact, 63,000 times in the NIV, words or phrases are left out. 63,000. And they try to tell you that all they've done is change the these or the thous. The word Christ is left out of the NIV 25 times. The word Lord is left out 350 times. The word Jesus has been left out 290 times. Now let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 14. This is a very well-known scripture. Isaiah chapter number 14. And this is a verse talking about Lucifer when he exalted himself and he was going to exalt himself to God and how the Lord's going to bring him down to the ground. The one that did weaken the nations. That's his job. Israel's job was to weaken the nations. Now let's look at chapter 14, verse 12. Look at it. How art thou fallen, Isaiah 14:12 in your King James Bible. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That's the devil. See that word Lucifer? That's where we get our word luck. L-U-C-K. It's luminous or bright, shining. Luck. That's why we don't use that word luck as a Christian. Somebody said, well, good luck. I hope I have good luck. Christian, we don't have luck. Everything in our life is in the plan of God. There's no accidents for a Christian. We don't depend on luck. That's L-U-C-K. Lucifer. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nation? That's what's going to happen to him. Now it calls him here son of the morning. All right, read it in the NIV.
How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth who once laid low the nations.
All right, now somebody that knows the Bible is going to know there's a problem with that immediately. Somebody tell me what it is. Morning star. It called Lucifer the morning star. Who does the Bible say the bright and morning star is? That's Jesus. Why in the world would it call Lucifer a morning star? Read it one more time.
What verse is it? Oh.
12.
How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That's weird. I wouldn't call Lucifer the morning star. He ain't the morning star. He's the one that did weaken the nations. He's the enemy. He's Lucifer. Now, let's look here just a little bit about some verses that are not clear. Job chapter 6. Job chapter number 6. They're always talking about how clear the NIV is and how hard to understand the King James Bible is. Job chapter number 6. And let's look at it here. Job chapter number 6. Here's just a little example. I mean, this is not a doctrinal matter, but it's just a point we'll make right quick. Job chapter 6 and verse 6, and it says this: Can that which is unsavory, that's something that has no flavor to it, be eaten without salt? The answer to that is absolutely not. Don't eat a baked potato without salt on it. You crazy? It tastes like dirt. Don't eat roast beef with no salt. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Now you know that. In egg whites, there's no taste. The taste comes out of the yellow part. Is there any taste in the white of an egg? Anybody have any problem understanding that verse? Can you eat something without salt? Is there any taste in the white of an egg? Read it in that one.
It says you're looking for RSV.
Okay. Not the NIV. The RSV on this one. The RSV says, the New World Translation says, is there any slimy juice in the marshmallow? Right. I got it right there. So the NIV's got this one right. Listen to what the RSV says. Now see if this is easier to understand. Is there any taste in the white of an egg? Or is this easier to understand? The RSV. Is there any slime in the purslain? Slime in the purslain. Slime in the purslain. Is there any slime in the purslain? That's what I'm preaching on Sunday morning. This morning I'll be speaking on the subject. Is there any slime in the purslain? That's crazy. Which one? They saying them's easier to understand? You kidding? All right, let's try this one. Now, this one's in NIV. Judges, chapter number 5. Judges, go backwards there a little bit to your left toward the beginning of the... We'll find the book of Judges, chapter 5 here. And this is why I come to church on Wednesday night, so you learn how to study. That word's also left out in the NIV. Study to show thyself approved. Doesn't say the word study. Judges chapter 5, verse 25. Judges 5:25. Now, look at here. This little song here, he's talking about that woman that killed that man, drove a nail in his head or whatever. Said, he asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. Anybody having trouble understanding that? He asked for water, she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish, a real nice dish, and she brought him some butter. What does that one say?
He asked for water and she gave him milk. in a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk.
Curdled milk. She brought forth butter, or she brought forth curdled milk. Is butter made out of curdled milk? Huh? Anybody know how to make butter? You don't make it out of curdled milk. What is curdled milk? Sour? Ugh. No wonder I don't like cottage cheese. Hey, curdled soured milk, I can't stand, buddy. I tell you what I done one time. I went in the store one time and I stopped and I ran in. I was in a hurry and I bought me a carton of chocolate milk. It's worse if it's chocolate, but I'm telling you. If you ever drunk soured chocolate milk, it's awful. I opened it up, took a big swig of it, and I thought I was going to throw up all over. I went, gag. It's awful. But that butter's a lot easier to understand. Let me read you this in the New King James, which we'll study next week. It says cream. And in the New World Translation, the Living Bible says milk. And the NASB says curds, the RSV says curds, the NIV says curds. I don't even know what curds is. Who in the world knows what curds is? They're not easier to understand. Butter is a lot easier to understand than curds. Ask all the kids in Sunday school, who knows what butter is? Everybody will raise their hand. Who knows what curds is? Not a one of them will raise their hand. That's some old race of people from over in Yugoslavia somewhere. Where the curds. it's not easier to understand. Okay? All right, we'll stop it right there a minute, brother. All right, who's got a question? Don't be embarrassed. Ask a question. That's what we're here for, study. Don't say, well, if I ask a question, everybody think I'm done. No. The smartest kids in the class is the ones that ask the questions. Usually. Anybody? Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love of money. Yeah. It's a money racket. It is. It really is. Because you're right, because if it says the same thing, is, and the King James Bible don't have copyright, by the way. It's the only Bible in the bookstore. It's the only book in the bookstore that don't have a copyright. Did y'all know that? It's not copyrighted. Anybody can copy it anytime, anywhere, any place, send it out, photocopy it on a copying machine. There's no copyright laws. Every one of these right here has a copyright. Isn't that neat? King James Bible is the only one that does not have a copyright. It's not copyrighted. It was given under the authority of a king, brother. And that the Word of God's not bound. Anybody can copy it anytime, any way, any place. All right, who else had the question? Brother?
I had this guy I worked with. He went to his church and had the NIV. Me and him about the discussion. And I was asking questions about it. He didn't even know anything about what he was going to church, you know, NIV or anything.
Yeah, most people don't. That's right. Well, we've seen tonight that a lot of these that are there's what's called checkpoints. Now, if you're taking notes, write these down, and I'm going to give you several verses that you can use as checkpoints. And any time somebody brings you a Bible and says, the only difference in this and that one is clearer, use these checkpoints. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. We'll get these before we get through here, and we'll be through here in just a minute. Acts 8, 37. 1 John 5, 7. 1 John, not St. John, 1 John, chapter 5, verse 7. The deed of Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. You can check any Bible in the world and tell if it's the right Bible by these verses. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. That's the deity of Christ. You know, turn it over and read it to them in that one, brother. Everybody look at Luke 2:33 there just a second. Now, some of you know this backwards and by heart, so but we're doing it for all of our new folks here tonight, and for maybe some that haven't been saved very long. Luke 2:33. And your Bible says, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it said, "And Joseph and his mother marveled," or something like that. That's the thing that said, Joseph and his mother marveled. That's Luke 2:33. All right, read it in the NIV, Brother Derek.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
Now, you see that? What's wrong with that? Joseph wasn't his father. The King James says Joseph and his mother, because that's the way it was. Joseph was not his father. That says Joseph was his father. That's the deity of Christ being attacked. That's very serious. That's one of the great fundamentals of our faith. Do it one more time, brother.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
Said Joseph was Jesus' father. That's a mistake. He was not. Now, what they'll say is, oh, but it says he was virgin born. Well, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. Nobody'd buy one if it didn't say that. But why would it call Joseph his father? That ain't right. It's not right. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. Just say that I don't want my Bible to say that Joseph was his father. Okay? All right? Now, I gave you Acts 8:37. You've done got enough to check it with right there. Luke 2:33, 1 John 5:7, 1 Timothy 6:10, where ours says the love of money is the root of all evil. That one says it's a root of all kinds of evil. And then, of course, the great one in 2 Samuel 21:19, where the NIV says a man named Elhanan killed the giant, Goliath. And he didn't. David killed him. That's 2 Samuel 21:19 in the NIV. It says Elhanan killed the giant. That's wrong. Daniel 3:25 says the fourth man in the fire was a son of the gods. And your King James Bible said it was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the NIV says the form of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Many sons, many gods. Okay? That's enough right there for you to check them with. Luke 23:42, the dying thief got saved there and called Jesus Lord. It's not in the NIV. It just says Jesus. And that's enough right there. Now, and of course, the fact that the word hell is not mentioned in the Old Testament, and it's 31 times in the King James. Who in the world, who do you think would want hell out of the Bible? The devil. This right here is a chart, and brother, I think you got one on the wall back there too, of all the changes. I don't know if it's just like this one. And the NIV are a lot of them. There's 63,000 of them, something like that. And it just on and on and on. But what I gave you is enough. You can check any Bible on the market. And if they don't say what your King James says in these verses that I gave you, they come from the other family of Bibles, the other family of manuscripts. Now remember this. Remember this. The NIV is not an update of the King James. The NIV comes from a different family. Here's Vaticanus. Here's Sinaiticus. And then over here would be the Textus Receptus. The King James comes from the Textus Receptus, right on back to the Apostles. Them Bibles there come from Vaticanus and Sinaiticus in 1880. And that's why all the preachers in this century fell for it before they'd done their homework. But thank God for some men of God that stuck to the old truth and the old Word of God. Some of them old grandmas up in the mountain, they don't know Greek, they don't know Hebrew, but they've been through life with that book right there, and it got them through their troubles, and it got them through their heartaches, and they prayed their kids out of trouble, and got their family saved, and God put food on their table when they claimed its promises, and you're not going to convince them that this isn't God's Word. Every great revival in American history came from a man preaching that Bible right there. Jesus said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." There has never been a great revival yet where the NIV was preached that started that revival. Never been one yet. All the great revivals in our church history was from this line right here. It comes from Antioch of Syria, where the disciples were first called Christians. First time anybody was called a Christian was in Acts chapter 11. It's from Antioch. These Bibles come from X, watch out for them X's, Alexandria, Egypt, and Egypt, the type of the world in the Bible. And it's out of the world. I like what Dr. Ruckman says. He says, this is an English Bible. This is an English Bible. And it's English. If you want exact time, you set your clock by English time. You know what your clock's set by? English time. If you got a cell phone or something in here tonight, them satellites, that phone's got exact time on it, that's English time. Longitude, latitude, all that's come straight from England. You know what time it is right now? It's whatever it says in England. Old Big Ben over there and them clocks. Well, that's what we set our time by. So absolute time comes from England. And absolute truth comes from England. This is an English Bible. This is not an American Bible. This is an English Bible. That's an American Bible. Ain't no America couldn't produce a good Bible. America's too far away from God. This is an English Bible from England. Okay? Anybody have any questions? Next week, we're going to study about the New King James. And the New King James is one that claims to be from this line of manuscripts. Because, see, they caught on to it. Said nobody won't buy them because of the wrong manuscripts. And they still won't outsell the King James, even though we push them like Madison Avenue. And so, we're going to come out with one from the Textus Receptus and call it the New King James. And it's a big flop, too. And we'll talk about it next week. Any questions? Any questions about anything I've said?